Greg, you shared some incredible ideas for our listeners, especially ideas that can really multiply anyone's sales, ongoing sales, especially if they choose a consumable item. Going back to the example like the guy selling the nicotine gum. But I'm going to push you for one more. I want one more technique, one so powerful that it blows every other tip that you've ever divulged in any of your seminars or even in your books for my listeners. Give me the supreme selling tip.
There's one I like to say for myself, and it's one of the most powerful gems that just revolutionizes auctions. And it works not just on eBay, but in classified ads, and online websites, wherever you want to sell something. But for some reason, I found it really improves eBay sales far better than the one-year money-back guarantee and all the rest. This technique is not for amateurs, and what I mean by that is that it's for eBay sellers who really want to leapfrog their competition, but it's not for the faint of heart. And in spite of its almost limitless selling power, the best thing about it is that it's only one simple sentence that you can add to every auction or everything you ever sell anywhere. And this is a sentence that you can put in every auction that you list. I don't really care what you sell, and you won't have to change a word in the sentence ever again for any other auction. And it's so much more powerful than call to action, putting the item into your buyer's minds and all of that. But I really have a warning about this, though. Before you use the sentence I'm about to tell everyone, you need to be warned. If you fail to deliver on this one sentence, your credibility will forever be shot. I mean, if one buyer gives you feedback that says you did not fulfill the following promise, you really might as well change eBay IDs if you ever want to use the technique again. So you've got to make sure you stand behind this technique's promise. And if there's any doubt, don't use this technique. My wife and I, for all of our eBay business, we save it for those times we can fully stand behind it and that we know in advance that we can. And we cannot always stand behind it, so we don't always use it. When we're going out of town or when holidays are upon us or companies coming in, we never use this technique because of the risk of failing on it. If we fail to mail this item within 24 hours of receiving payment, we will refund 100% of your money and ship this item to you absolutely free of charge. Now, this promise is going to frighten some sellers, and I'm going to tell you why it works. Again, here's that sentence. If we fail to mail this item within 24 hours of receiving payment, we will refund 100% of your money and ship this item to you absolutely free of charge.
Wow, that's great.
You want to make sure that your auctions are so tempting, remember, that buyers will think they're taking advantage of you if they win your auction. And this sentence is one of those that seals the deal. I mean, even Ross Perot would be impressed at this sentence's giant sucking sound that one hears when they pull so many bidders into your auction.
Where do you put it in the auction?
If I have a headline, I put it directly under that headline in bold print. And you can put it other places. I would recommend you put it twice, directly under the headline, or if you just state the auction's item at the top in large letters, put it right under that. And it wouldn't hurt to put it one more time after you've said everything else in bold print in this paragraph all by itself. If we fail to mail this item to you within 24 hours of receiving proper payment, I say proper payment, I'll tell you what that means in a minute, but that kind of clouds it here. But if we fail to mail this item within 24 hours of receiving payment, we will refund 100% of your money and ship this item to you absolutely free of charge. Now, the buyer, first of all, knows many things now. He or she is certain you will ship that item quickly because who couldn't afford not to? But in addition, your buyers know it's entirely possible they might get it for free. That's an offer that's 100% irresistible. Now, does it work for items where bidders don't really care if they get prop shipping? Yes, it works because it adds tremendous security for those buyers. It says you mean what you say, and it's a no-risk gamble because every one of your high bidders knows it's possible to still get it for free, whether they want it quickly or not. And the technique will only be weak if you are brand new to eBay and have a low feedback score. Once you have 45 or so more feedbacks and a high positive percentage, and everyone really shows that you do what you say, you're established enough to make this promise really mean something to your bidders. Now, I like to say proper payment because that implies your buyer has to follow your rules of payment. In other words, if you say that if you receive checks, you hold the item until the check clears, or something like that, if you've got some sort of check clearing or money, even these days, money orders for the most part should wait to clear before, because money order fraud is on the rise. And unless you get a postal money order or a money order that you can take to the issuing institution and verify, even a money order sometimes should require a hold before you send something. Now, if a buyer has a high feedback, we don't really do that, but there are times when you may want to hold the check. And assuming that your payment terms are not ridiculous, I say that proper payment is completely acceptable, and it's a good expectation on your part. That means as long as you follow my payment policy, you pay through PayPal possibly, and maybe I require a confirmed mailing address on your PayPal account or something like that. As long as you pay me what my payment policies are, and my payment policies are extremely flexible, I take just about anything, this will be a powerful guarantee, and you can stick to it. If your buyer sends you a check and you've made it clear you're going to hold the check for 10 days, and you do that and then mail it to that person on the 11th day, you have fulfilled this promise. If they complain you didn't, they're really wrong about that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
And not only for eBay, I mean, you could do that on your own website.
Anything. And if you happen to feel that 24 hours is too constraining, well, extend it to 36 or 48 hours, but every time you extend it, you weaken the offer. And in addition, if it's an extremely expensive item, such as over $500, it would also work to change the wording if you want to refund just $50 or $75 or $100. But the higher the promise of the refund, the more powerful your offer is. And because of that cutoff time, really, if your item goes for an extremely high bid, that complete 100% refund plus shipping guarantee really makes your auction one of the most magnetic auctions on eBay. And that's the killer tip.
Why do you divulge these secrets so freely? Why are you telling me all this right now? Aren't you afraid to let your competition know about all these secrets where they may be a threat to you?
I'm really not, and I don't just give this out to everyone. I've given it in seminars before, some of these things, and I don't talk about it in my newspaper column, actually, and I write some reports on eBay site, actually. I've written several reports that readers can read, and I don't put them there. I think they're too important for that, but in many ways, I've just handed our listeners a whole bunch of money. These are proved techniques that are hardly used at all, and I've never read or heard anyone else teaching, I'd say, all of these, or most of them. I hope our listeners have tax problems because of how much money they make. Am I afraid of my competition? I'm absolutely not, for several reasons. I don't say that to be pompous, but it is sad but true that hardly anyone who hears this will actually implement most of the ideas. Most people just are like that. Even when they agree that something they've learned is a great technique, they just don't change easily. They don't adopt easily. And so those few who do, hey, the world's a huge place. I mean, there's plenty of room for several successful eBayers who understand how to get into the buyer's minds, and the chance that anyone listening will ever directly compete with me, with all the sellers on eBay, that's extremely small. But if that ever happens, I have it on good authority, actually, that iron sharpens iron. And if I have to work harder to compete, if I must keep finding new ways to remain profitable, that makes me better. And I want everyone who reads my books or attends a seminar to profit from what I say, because I practice what I preach. I mean, if I didn't believe in what I'm teaching, then I have no right to promote it as a good thing. I truly believe in these techniques, and I truly believe they'll change our listeners' income for the better. So competition, Michael, I welcome the challenge.
How about testimonials? You found that testimonials work for you on eBay auctions?
With eBay, you get testimonials whether you want them or not. And most people don't see right away, and you should want testimonials, by the way, but eBay's testimonials are eBay's feedback. And there's nothing wrong with picking out the best of the feedbacks that you've gotten and scattering a few of them throughout an auction of yours. Now, other eBayers can always look at every single feedback other people have given you since day one. At any point, they can go to your feedback pages and read through all of them, but I like to make it even easier. I like to cherry pick the best of the best for my feedback, and I will actually copy that and put that feedback, scatter it throughout my auction, wherever I want them, and however I want to list them. And you can even use the person's eBay ID, because it's all public information available anyway on eBay to everyone. And I actually have fairly extraordinary feedbacks right now. many, many thousands. And really, they get lost in the shuffle. So I pull them out and put some of the ones on my auction page. I monitor them, and I replace them as time goes on. Your About Me page is also a great place to put testimonials. But there, you want to put people who have sent you emails about, you know, thank you so much, I'm so happy about what you did, about the extra mile you took, about upgrading my shipping, or whatever you happen to do. You should ask their permission if you do that. But if they let you, and they don't mind, you should put their name and even their city and state, however much they will let you put about themselves, up to and including full name, city and state, or at the least first name and state. The more you can tell about them, the better, if they've written you a longer testimonial. And on your About Me page, you have room to do that. What you're doing is showing buyers that you are not tooting your own horn. Instead, you're just the messenger. You're just passing along a message that some stranger wrote about you, and it truly enhances your eBay credibility.
Learn how eBay power sellers power through profits using eBay. Go to www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com. That's www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com. People in direct marketing understand what an upsell is, but maybe for someone who doesn't understand, why don't you explain what an upsell is and how can we use upsells in eBay after a buyer buys something from you? How can that work for us in making more money?
The easiest time to sell someone something is right after they purchased something else from you. And everyone has been upsold, even if they don't know the term. It's the old razors by the cash register trick. Let's be clear. I don't want to confuse the honorable upsell with maybe a dishonorable bait and switch type of tactic where you promise a certain price or a description that's too good to be true, and then once the buyer accepts that, you kind of swap on them. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that once someone has bought something for you, there are three ways to make a lot more money. One is to get more customers. One is to have your current customers buy more of what they already buy from you. I said three. Those are the primary two, but another one is to get customers to bring you other customers. But let me talk about the second one, this upsell. If you can get a buyer who's bought from you to buy more, they are actually in a buying mode as soon as they buy something from you. Sadly, eBay is not great about helping you upsell. Their checkout process starts to do that, but it's not really effective the way a direct marketer would really like. And so I always look for ways to upsell through eBay, and here's how you can do it. But first of all, you want to ask yourself, what does my buyer want next? Once my buyer buys this item, is there something I have that the buyer might want next? I've been selling all these used and rare books for over a year now, and there's really very little I can upsell. At first, that seems to be the case. It turns out that's not really true. The upsell technique that works best for you is I'm going to move to when you have a fairly predictable set of goods that you sell over and over. I'm going to get back to the eBayer like myself who sells individual items, but when you sell the same item over and over, such as DVDs that you buy and sell in large quantities or something like that, or when you sell basically in a general category like truck parts or engine fluids or something like that, when you have related items, you need to ask yourself, what do my buyers want immediately following this item? And you need to tell your buyer that in the auction, whenever they're looking at, I don't know, I'm thinking truck parts right now, whenever they look at a steering wheel for a Dodge pickup, you should be selling steering wheel covers if you sell a lot of steering wheels. You should be selling vinyl cleaners for the inside of the truck. You should be selling items that buyer is kind of thinking of when they're there at the steering wheel looking over the rest of the truck. And when you do that, let's say that you have an MP3 player that you were given as a gift, and you don't use it often enough to keep it. Now, that's just a one-item sale. You don't sell an MP3 player, so how can you do the same thing? Well, do you have a spare pack of new batteries that will fit the player? If you do, don't include the batteries with the MP3 player, but instead send an email to your buyer whenever they win and say you'll toss in a brand new set of batteries for $4 extra or whatever to save the buyer all the time and effort and trouble of purchasing them at a retail store. Now, that $3 or $4 isn't much, but it's just like your MP3 player got an extra boost in income, and you weren't going to use those batteries anyway, maybe. Now, consider what you might do if you have a laptop to sell. Before listing the laptop, find a deal on a good laptop carrying case, maybe at your local Kmart or Walmart. And even if you don't already have one for sale, just find a good bag and price it and add a slight markup to it. You don't even have to buy it. If your buyer got a good deal on the laptop, he or she may very well pay you a premium to buy a carrying case that you sell them also. You can tell them all about it because it saves the buyer the time and trouble of finding one. You can ship it all together. You can ship the laptop in their new carrying case. And if there's a lot of competition for that laptop, well, you might even offer the bag as a free bonus, using it as an upsell, just to make yourself different from your competition to get the higher bids, and you might get more than enough to pay for that laptop.
Can you tell me exactly how you do that?
I do it in several ways. First of all, I always offer combined shipping discounts, and this is all related to upsells. I want my buyers to know that if they happen to buy more than one thing from me, I'm really going to please them on their shipping charges, because if I can sell three things and mail them all in one box, not only does that mean I don't have to wrap three items three times and do three stamps.com, it also means that I can save money, and so I just pass that on to my buyer because I'm not trying to profit. Once I pay for shipping and my boxes and things, and we primarily use new boxing and new tape and all that, once I pay for all that, I don't want to profit off my shipping. And so if I'm going to save money sending three items in one box, my buyer should save money too. So number one, I always offer combined shipping discounts to get them in the mode of, maybe I ought to look at other things this guy sells. And I tell my buyers in every auction, in every auction, that we greatly reduce combined shipping costs when they win more than one item. Only I don't tell them that once, and I don't tell them that twice, and I don't tell them that three times. I often state that in four or five places. And when I do that, even though eBay doesn't like links in your auction, eBay doesn't really care if you link to other eBay auctions. I mean, you know, eBay's thrilled about that. And so I will even turn that statement that I will dramatically give you a combined shipping discount if you buy more than one item within a week's period. And I underline that with a link, so to see my other auctions, click here. And so I send them to a list of all my other auctions on eBay. I never take them off eBay. That would be against the rules. I do that four or five times an auction. And I found this helps tremendously, especially for the all-important international buyer. Because the international buyer, as of the time we're speaking, the dollar is weak, so they really want to buy a lot from us right now. They really save a lot of money. But even when the dollar is strong again, their shipping is so expensive that if they can buy three or four or five things from the same seller, then they're far better off and their price per item is dramatically lower than if they were to buy it from several different places. And often in America, our prices are far cheaper than European prices and other prices anyway. And so we have still a free market in our society, semi, not as much as we should or did, but we have such a free market mentality still that we can offer lower prices. There's a caveat on that. On some items, we can't combine with other things, and that would be, we recently finished selling five vintage Christmas ornaments for a lady who has us sell some of her more decorative items, and these were extremely old and extremely fragile. They required an extraordinary amount of wrapping and protection, and I just couldn't safely mail those with books or anything else. And so I had to state in that auction, I cannot combine shipping on these. And you mentioned these words a while ago. I gave them a reason why. It's always important to tell why you have to do something. Buyers approve of limitations as long as you're telling them why. And I said, these are so fragile that we wanted to ensure they arrived in this same precious condition that we mail them. And if we combine them with a book or something else, they might break. And you don't want a broken ornament. We don't want you to get a broken ornament. We want you to be happy with this. Even though I said that, I still put four or five times in that auction that we combine shipping on most items. Went ahead and modified it a little bit and said most items. It's okay to have some exceptions like that. But to really take advantage of the savings from buyers, I not only tell them that, but I cross-promote a lot. And the key is to look at the inventory of what you're selling and list in groups. Like right now, we happen to be selling a whole bunch of books on World War II. I don't know why, but I'm putting a bunch up tonight. And that just happens to be the next batch of books that the lady gave us to sell. And even though I have four or five boxes of other subjects, I will finish listing all of those World War II books before I list another book, because I want to start generating a frenzy around our auctions. I want World War II collectors who know each other to say, hey, did you see all those World War II books up there? They're all by the same guy. And every one of them says, I will greatly discount your shipping if you buy more than one item. And in every one of those auctions, I refer to the others and I say, this is just one of several World War II book auctions we have right now. If you want to take a look at our rare World War II books, click here and you'll see all of our books. And actually what I do then is I give them a list of all of our auctions so they can find the World War II books and actually see everything else as well.
Do you send them to your store?
Oh, yes. Well, I actually don't. I just send them to a search that I've saved that just lists in a format that I like all of our current auctions. The store is great, but I still prefer this other format. I'll give you the link here in a minute that I use. But if you have, say, even vintage dolls, it doesn't matter. If you have five of one thing, don't put them all in one auction in general. Be sure and list them all on the same day. And if you sell vintage dolls, refer to the other dolls in every doll auction. Let me give you a number. 18% of our buyers are repeat buyers. I wish that were higher, but that's not bad for strangers on eBay who just find my items just by searching. 18% had bought from us before. One out of five, approximately, of every buyer is someone that we've dealt with before. A reader of my syndicated eBay newspaper column wrote to me recently, and she said this was a brilliant idea that she'd never thought of. And, Michael, she sold these little glass paperweights and other kinds of items, and she thought eBay's search tool was getting all the business possible. But her increase when she began cross-promoting, just by saying, I've got others of these, I will be glad to reduce shipping. And she started using a cross-promotion tool that eBay has built in. It works okay, but if you have an eBay store, it works better than if you don't. But I still like to tell them in my auctions. Now, once an auction is over, do you want to tell them in the end-of-sale email about your other items? Well, of course. But let me tell you one little problem with eBay when it comes to doing that. A lot of times someone will win something, click Pay Now, pay through PayPal, and within about 10 seconds, they not only won your item, but they paid for it also. And it's kind of difficult to get an email to them before they do that. And you can go ahead and send an email that says, thanks for your payment. By the way, I have these other items. I will be glad to combine shipping if you would like. You lose a little bit of the excitement factor when you do that because they now consider the matter closed and they're moving on to something else. And also it's awkward for you to kind of figure out a way to invoice that through eBay and get them the lower shipping if they buy three more items. It's really a lot of bookwork for you. I wish there were a better way to do that built into eBay and PayPal, but there's really not. So I try to get them during the sale, which is not as good as right after the sale, but about the best you can do. Even if you sell a car on eBay Motors, and by the way, the largest used car dealer in the world is eBay Motors, which is just eBay selling used cars. More cars are sold there than any place in the world. This is just an idea. I don't think that you're going to do exactly what I'm about to tell you, but it kind of whets the appetite for other things you can do. Strike a deal, for example, with the local finance company to give your buyer an interest rate discount, even if it's only a fraction of a point, and maybe a finder's fee to you for sending that buyer to that finance company. And you can do the same with your insurance agent. As long as you truly get your buyer a deal on those extra services, maybe your agent is able to give one of your buyers, if you offer this and you sell more than one car over a period of time, maybe your insurance agent can do some sort of a bonus system for these people or some sort of a reduced rate. You should get a little commission for your legwork. The finance company, the insurance agent, they didn't have to advertise to get the business. Once everyone wins, your buyer gets cheaper insurance or whatever. You shouldn't feel any guilt about that type of finder's fee or about profiting from the extra sale because you might be giving that buyer a discount over what they paid anywhere else. And perhaps you've offered a service that protects them, some sort of a warranty service on a used car that no one else had offered or that they hadn't thought about. And perhaps you've gone to the trouble to obtain this service and you should get paid for your trouble and everyone wins. And every successful business in the world uses upsell techniques. Once you have a customer who's just purchased, that's when you want to sell something else. You know, it's the old, would you like fries with your hamburger type of upsell.
Is it possible to promote auctions outside of eBay?
Michael, I'm always promoting auctions. And the reason I do that is to actually, I want consignment customers. I want people to come to me to think of me first whenever they need to sell something that they have. I don't want them to open up a garage sale. I want them to have me sell it. I charge a very low 20% of whatever I sell their item for, which is lower than most consignment sellers, and I almost always get at least 20% more than they would get if they were selling the item themselves. So it works for them, it works for me, and I'm always selling. One way that I do that is through, I actually bought some eBay t-shirts one time. eBay has all sorts of logo wear, and I'll wear our t-shirts out lots of places, and think of the millions of people who use eBay. They're always asking us about eBay. Oh, do you sell on eBay? Or I just bought something on eBay, and they'll tell their story to us, and it's great. And they'll say, so do you work for eBay? That's the common question. I'll say, no, but we have found that we can make people a lot of money by selling their things, a lot more than they can make themselves because of the history that we have on eBay and because we're power sellers and we have an eBay store. And I just have a little selling spiel that I can tell them in about 25 seconds right there.
Tell me, what is it?
The main catchphrase is, we have found that we can make people a lot of money selling their items on eBay that will not make nearly as much in a garage sale or even if they list them themselves. Because we're power sellers, we know a lot of selling techniques, and we have a history on eBay that is fantastic.
Are you and your wife doing all your auctions yourself, or do you have help?
We do them all ourselves.
How many auctions are you running a month?
Since it's getting closer to Christmas season now, we will start running about 800 to 1,000 a month. February through August or September, we run about 400 auctions a month, about 100 a week.
Now, do you use a standard template for your auctions?
Most of our auctions do look the same, and I do modify that regularly. I'm always adding and tweaking it, probably more than I should, but I always think of things and try things, and I'm always promoting. You know, the t-shirt idea gets me clients, but I also promote our auctions everywhere. There's a really simple way for everyone listening to us today. There's a simple way to promote their auctions that really requires no work on their part once they set it up. If someone routinely sells on eBay, they should use an email signature, and that's just text, which often has a hyperlink to their eBay page that appears on the bottom of every email they send. And Microsoft Outlook and online, Google's Gmail, and most email programs allow you to create a signature. And every time you send an email, that recipient automatically gets a description and a link to your auctions. Anything you say gets this in front of someone that didn't before. Say, look at these great eBay auctions. And that's all you might say and have an underline. But even better, you can be a little bit wiser and go the headline approach and say, you've never seen items for sale on eBay like these, dot, dot, dot. And just have a link to your auctions. And let me add one more thing. Anytime you have a link, it has been proved just too many times, no doubt about it. If you do say click here, you get more clicks. It's the old tell the person what to do and they'll do it more likely. So if you say, you've never seen auctions on eBay like these, dot, 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 click here to see what I mean, you're more likely to get a click. And I don't care if 1 out of 100 people click on that. I mean, it's set up, and other than a strict business account that I use, that gets put on every email that we send.
Do you use listing software? And if so, what's the best one you found?
I have used several. The one that I liked the best was Empire, and that's spelled MPIRE.com. And after I got really good at it, they stopped using a listing service. They've now gone to a free research and searching tool, which is really fabulous, but I missed their listing service. And I've tried Octiva. I've tried several. I'm going to tell you what we currently use, and even though we're heavy eBayers, we use eBay's own Turbo Lister tool.
Okay, and that's a free download.
It's a free download, and I don't really like it. No one really likes it, but it's fine with me. I'm pretty savvy when it comes to creating web pages and HTML, and I can do little things with Turbo Lister just because I know a lot about computers that I can kind of make it work for me better than probably some can. But I tell you, if you sell 10 or 20 items a week, you really need something like Turbo Lister to just take the grunt work out, to put up the same template every time so that at least you don't forget the important things. And in our templates, we have the we'll combine shipping at a greatly reduced rate, 3 or 4 times already there. And we've got all these places already formatted. I know where the title's going to go. And I strongly recommend everyone here to be using at first Turbo Lister, and then if you want to go to the paper services like Octiva, that's fine too.
What's your take on 5-day auctions, 7-day auctions, 10-day auctions? Is there a place for different types of auctions for those, and what do you think is the best value?
There is. The best value is 7-day auctions as a whole. The way eBay works is the second that you list an item, the standard default is 7 days later from that second, unless there's a daylight savings time change, 7 days from that second, your auction will end, no matter what. And if you go 10 days, you have to pay an extra fee. I haven't found it to be worth it for us, but I'm kind of cheap, and I like to use more secretive techniques. I like to get into the buyer's mind, and I like to create an action, and I'd rather do that than just spend money trying to get more buyers. And so we really like the seven-day techniques. We have currently listed a piano that is almost like new that is ours that we've been trying to sell on eBay. And we actually put it up for last Christmas, very late in the season, about 2 weeks before Christmas. Got a lot of interest, and no one quite wanted to pay the price because it's not something we can ship. They had to come and get it. And there was no one close by who wanted our piano. All these people far away, they wanted me to meet them halfway, and it just wasn't going to be possible. It's an awkward thing. And so we have had that in our eBay store now for almost a year. By the way, the big advantage to an eBay store is you can list things for 30 days at a very low rate, and that piano costs us 6 cents a month to list. The drawback is once it does sell, we're going to pay more in eBay fees than we would if it were an auction.
How much is it selling for, or did it sell?
It has not sold yet. I think it's $1,600 and something is what we have it for, and it's really beautiful. Everyone knows it's worth that. That's why we get so much interest. But we just have to find someone close by who can get it.
Do you recommend the 7 day over the 5 day?
I do recommend the 7 day over the 5 day. However, there are many times I use a 3 day auction. If I'm selling something that's really hot, and I'll give you some examples, low price and really in demand, those things seem to sell as well in 3 days as they do 7, so you should turn your money over faster. It's better velocity use of your money. So, for instance, we watch a lot of movies, probably more than we should, and we often buy them on Amazon the day they come out, which is Tuesday of every week, but we'll often buy them on the weekend, and Amazon will often ship Sunday night, and so you have all day Monday and Tuesday, and often we'll get them via UPS Tuesday afternoon. And so I have them the day they came out, and my wife and I will try to watch them furiously for a few days, and then we try to get them listed by that weekend, Friday or Thursday night. And if we can do that, we can list them Thursday night or Friday night. We will list them in 3 day auctions because they're hot. Everyone's wanting them. We just put them up for a penny and they go. Actually, if we had a 7 day auction, they will have lost some of their demand at the end of that 7 days, whereas they're still growing strong while they're still less than a week old. If you sell perishable goods, like, I've never bought any, but I'm just so tempted to buy some Alaskan salmon that is fresh and that they will overnight you through FedEx this incredible Alaskan salmon that was not raised on a fish farm or anything. And they're always one-day auctions because perishable items, they need to ship them every single day, and that makes a lot of sense. But in general, 3 days is the shortest we'll go. Almost everything else will go 7 days. If it's an extremely rare item that maybe there aren't a lot of people interested in, and yet it's worth a lot of money, I will pay for a 10-day auction, and here's how you do it. You start it on a Thursday night, because what that will do is go 2 weekends ending on a Sunday night, which is, some people say it's a myth, the all-important night to end an auction. So your auction, if you start it 10 days on a Thursday evening, gets 2 weekends worth of coverage, and that's pretty powerful.
When you're listing an auction, eBay, they're pretty good at upselling you. They want to sell you a featured listing. They want to sell you bold. They want to sell you highlight. They want to sell you gallery pictures. Tell me what to stay away from.
I can tell you what we have found works best and what the masters of eBay and I agree on, and that is gallery pictures are a must. And that means when someone searches for your item, not only do they see your title, but they will see a small picture of your item next to that title. Gallery pictures are 35 cents, and every single one of your auctions should have a gallery picture. So that's one upsell eBay's doing to you that you should do. We generally find that we never do boldface or highlight or special featured auction or anything else. We hardly do anything else except sometimes on a high-priced item that's hot. If I happened to have an iPhone the week that the iPhones came out, I almost certainly would have for that paid to have it boldface and maybe even highlighted in a color in a search result. That would have cost me $5 to $6 more to have that. And there's no doubt I want to stand apart from the flood of auctions. And it's a high-priced item, and it's very hot, so I'm going to go for some of those added services. But for day-to-day, even fairly rare items, only do a gallery, do a 7-day auction. Most cases, that's what you want to do, and that's the best use of your time and money.
What's the highest price item you've ever sold on eBay?
I sold an $11,000 book, and that was really pretty sweet. It was from this collection, and it was a book that was a signed, limited, numbered, boxed book. And the book was The Gunslinger by Stephen King. and it was a special numbered edition. I need to qualify. It actually was a trilogy. It was the first three Gunslinger books inside a boxed set that was numbered. And Stephen King, of all things, and why this lady's husband bought this is beyond me. But anyway, he bought it, probably paid $50 for it whenever it first came out. And that was probably considered expensive. That came out probably in the mid-80s, 84, maybe 83, 84, 85. And so less than two decades later, I sold it for more than $11,000.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. And so you earn 20% on that, or do you negotiate different deals with different sellers?
I often negotiate different deals with different people, and if it looks as though their items will sell for a lot, I give them deals. We always send a very detailed statement of everything, and I believe that month, and I probably should have gone down further, but she was so thrilled anyway, and I was thrilled, and we were all new to this. And instead of charging her 20%, I charged her 17.5% for all the books that we sold that month for her.
Wow. Yeah. That's a great deal for her.
Yeah, I think so. There's no way she could have sold those.
So when do you give up trying to sell a book? I mean, how many times will you list it until you say, all right, it's not selling, and how do you work that out with your client?
Fortunately, we have a good sell-through rate, and fortunately, most of our items do sell. If a book doesn't appear as though it's going to sell much, I tell you, and I hate to say this on a course that I'm teaching, but when it comes to rare books, I kind of have a gut feel sometimes. And if one just doesn't seem like it's going to be a seller at all, I'll look it up and see if it's sold in the past. And I'll even go to a book finding service and see if there's many of them for sale and what their prices are. If it doesn't look as though a book's going to sell, I will keep it out and combine it and use it as a bonus book when I get another one on that same topic. And my client is thrilled for that. I mean, that just makes the other book sell, and this one wouldn't have sold by itself. But I will relist a book at most one time. You'll get arguments that say that's wrong to do, that I should relist it over and over. I understand their point because buyers come and go and check eBay different times. But here's the way I decide. I will relist a book if it has one or more watchers. And as the seller, I can see how many people have clicked to be a watcher on every item that I sell. And a watcher means they get regular emails from eBay. Whenever they volunteer to be a watcher of something I'm selling, as it gets close to the end of the auction, eBay will remind them, hey, you're watching this item. It's almost over. It's got 7 hours left. You better start bidding on it. And so if I have someone who has raised his hand or her hand and said, I'm kind of interested in this. I'm just not ready to bid. And the item ends without a bid, I will relist it one time in my store. And that means for 6 cents, I'll put it in the store for 30 days. Or if it had more than one watcher. If it had a lot more watchers, I might relist it in a 7-day auction, but almost always I send it to my store, and after 30 days, if it doesn't sell, I just put it in the unsold pile and take it back to her.
All right, what's your technique when you're selling? Do you start out at a low bid to get people into the auction frenzy, or will you set a minimum bid? Have you found that setting a minimum bid too high, you get no action? What works best as far as the listing price?
I don't like people who write eBay books that tell you a low bid is always good or a low bid is always bad. It really does depend, and I can tell you exactly how to know. If an item is worth a lot of money, start it at one penny. Just no doubt. I guarantee you the world will not let that thing go for a penny.
With no reserve.
Oh, no, never a reserve.
Just have confidence.
I should make that clear that we just don't reserve anything. Buyers don't like reserves. And just 1 cent and let it roll. Within minutes, sometimes seconds, you'll get a bidder. I mean, it's just amazing if it's really worth a lot of money. The funny thing is, at first, it's the hardest one for people to start at a penny, but that's the way to go. Now, if I'm selling a book that's a used book, again, I know I'm using books a lot, but that's just an example. It's a used book, but not a rare book, and someone might want it. There's a small audience out there. A few have sold here and there in the book selling services, but it's not a great seller. I will almost always start that at $2.99, and I did a lot of testing to see what the price point was that would make or break a book, and we found that anything over $3, if it's a book that someone kind of wants, but not too much, they won't pay more than three for it. But $2.99 is something that moves the most buyers into that buy mode when it's a book that's not high in demand, but also there's not others of them on eBay for sale at that time. And I used to ask lower than that, and they would sell for 99 cents. They'd sell for $1.99, but we only get one bidder. So to make it worth my time, and it's really not worth my time to sell something for $2.99, but there's always a chance it will go up, and eBay will often surprise us on the upside. So I have found that, well, I didn't buy the book. I'm not out any money for it. If it doesn't sell, I don't even have to pay the listing fee because my client pays that, but they don't pay me anything if I don't sell it. But they do pay the cost it costs me to list it. So I'll throw a book up there for $2.99, and that's actually a pretty good price point for your buyers to try garage sale items that they found at a flea market or whatever for 50 cents. If they can't really figure out from research what it will sell for, try $2.99. It doesn't sound like much, but often they've skyrocketed from there and surprised us. If an item is worth a lot of money, but there may not be a lot of bidders, I don't start it at a penny. I started at $9.99 or $29.99 or $39.99. If it's worth several thousands of dollars, I probably will go something like $599 or $799 or $999. I will start with a significant starting price because there might only be, and this is rare, there might only be in 1 7-day period one or two people looking for that one item. It's rare, it's worth a lot of money, but there's not a lot of demand. So I need to make sure that we get a good starting bid in case there's only one person out there who wants it. Then I can at least make my client fairly happy.
What about all these retail franchises you see that specialize in selling products on eBay? Any advice on those?
Like the storefronts?
Yes.
Well, no advice other than I would ask for their history. They have actually been coming under a lot of financial problems lately, and a lot more seem to be closing than opening. I live in the Oklahoma area, and we're not on the East or West Coast, so things always come here last. And just as all of the eBay stores, storefronts, all the news started arriving that they really weren't doing that well and starting to close down, we started getting eBay stores all over the place here. And so I'm on the leading edge of everything, not the leading edge. And sure enough, they've been open for 3 or 4 years. They're now beginning to kind of shun their eBay business. They start doing, we will now re-ink your printer cartridges and refill printer cartridges, and they start doing other services, and it's obvious that they aren't making it by eBay alone. A couple of reasons. They have to charge 25 to 35% of an item, and sometimes they'll charge more than that. A lot of them have a minimum price. So they'll say, even if we don't sell it, we have to charge $8.95 just for listing it. Now, that's not a bad fee. I mean, I understand what they're saying because it takes a long time to write a good auction. The sad thing is they don't really write that good of auctions. I mean, how many of those places have people working for them that know how to write to their buyers? And you've got to figure the odds. Even if they have good training, the odds of most of those stores writing good direct marketing copy, writing to their clients, writing an auction listing, writing benefits instead of features, the odds of that are pretty slim. And so their sales are mediocre. And I don't mean this to disrespect any of them. Some of them, I'm sure, do great. But probably if you want someone to sell something for you, you should probably find an individual. Even better, though, you should be doing it yourself.
What are you offering to people who have stuff to sell on eBay, who want to educate themselves in more detail on eBay? How can you be of help in educating my listeners?
Well, I do several things, and I do want to state that my first and foremost career is being an author of books, not eBay. eBay is our part-time little sideline career, even though it's engulfing us. It's not my major career. And so that's important to note. If we go out of town a lot, I go on business trips a lot, and our eBay business has to kind of suffer when we do that. We have to put auctions on hold. We have to not be able to sell for the week leading up to it in case someone buys when we're gone and we can't ship it. Really, this travel that I do as an author causes us some problems in our eBay business. And so I have to always remind people that it is a sideline business and that even though I devote major effort to it, as you can probably guess from this call, it is a sideline, and sometimes it's a while before we can sell even clients' items that we pick up here locally if we happen to be the ones picking them up. But I will say that I consult in eBay. I offer training seminars. I've done training seminars online, and I've written some books about eBay. My wife has written a book on eBay, and I really don't understand this, but the title is I Married an eBay Maniac, and I don't really know what she means by that, but anyway, that's the title. And I wrote the marketing chapter of that book, and you can imagine some of what we talked about here today is in that book. And so even she has gotten on board with this and really gotten excited about the way we do things. It really is so fun to see so much success on eBay. And when other people tell us how thrilled they are at what we sold things for, they're just elated. And so that all kind of feeds itself and makes us want to do it. What we have found, though, is that people have so many different needs when it comes to eBay. They've never sold before. They live out of our state, and they call and ask if we'll sell something for them, and that's very difficult. For one thing, we have to take possession of anything that we sell, because if someone asks a question that we don't know the answer to, we have to be able to look at the item and answer that question truthfully and honestly, and we just don't want to write up something about being in mint condition, and maybe the owner honestly missed that big scratch in the bottom of it. And so it's difficult for us to be consignment sellers for people who live very far from the, in our case, the Tulsa, Oklahoma area. But I do a lot of consulting. A lot of people will say, well, I'm just starting on eBay and I don't get pictures, or I don't understand all this about shipping, or I don't understand all these new shipping rates or something like that. And they want to hire me just to give them a one-hour phone call consulting or something. I must be honest, I don't feel that comfortable doing that. I would rather give them 2 days worth of material than 30 minutes. But I just find that people have different needs, and you just have to address what people's needs are. So even though I've written books, I give training seminars and all of that, really the best thing to do, even if you just want copies of some of the newspaper articles I've written, the best thing to do is just send me an email. And that's really the best way to get in touch with me. My email address for all eBay-related business is questions@bidmentor.com. Questions, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N-S, at bidmentor, bidmentor.com. Because I teach people how to use eBay, I'm a mentor for them. And if you want to sign up, I have a little information digest newsletter that I mail regularly. And I don't use an autoresponder for that. I love autoresponders, but I have found I used to use it for my email digest, and I kept getting more than any other sideline business I've ever done on the Internet. I kept getting accused of spamming people whenever they had to request to get into my service and do a double opt-in. So I have found that if people write me at that email address, questions@bidmentor.com, they can ask me whatever they want. Generally, I just answer. I mean, I'm not charging people for answers to little questions or anything. And if they want to start getting some of my newsletters, I will be glad to add them to my list if that's what they request. And I'll do that manually. And I just save their email, and I just think that's a better way of doing this. I don't know why it seems to be important for this to me, but it is. I don't use the list for any other purpose. I don't give away their email or share it or sell it or do anything with it. And they can cancel at any time. And so I would say the gateway to reaching me is questions@bidmentor.com. And if you want to see what we're doing at any one time, you can just go to bidmentor.com, and it'll just list all our auctions. It'll just show you right to the second what we're listing. I don't know what we've got up there now. A few boring books, actually. This is a pretty boring set of books, I think, that we've got listed this week. And I'm getting ready to go on a business trip again, so I didn't do the big golden tip that we talked about. And I think that's informative. You know, I do what I think I can handle, and I don't promise if I can't deliver. So bidmentor.com will show you all of our options.
That's wonderful. And I've learned a ton from asking you these questions during this interview, for sure. And is your eBay screen name? Well, I know you'll find it if you go to bidmentor.com. But what's your eBay screen name, your main one?
It is also BidMentor.
BidMentor. So if anyone goes to eBay and they click on Community and type in BidMentor, they'll find listings of all your auctions there as well.
Just go to BidMentor.com. And it'll take you to eBay.
Do you have a download of your book in your About Me section on eBay?
What I did on my About Me page is I put up a link to one of my first eBooks that I wrote about eBay, and it's got a very special technique that we haven't even talked about here. And if someone would like to see how I write and would like to have a free eBook, and it's about 90 pages of all solid information, they can go to bidmentor.com and click on any auction and go to my About Me page. There'll be a link there. And right-click and download the book. It's yours free. It sells for $9.77 on Moby Pocket, which is Amazon's ebook service. And it's a real book. It's not just fluff. It's not there to sell you something else. It's a tried-and-true technique that will add income to every item you sell on eBay or any other place. It's just a guaranteed addition of 99 cents or more to every product you sell. And it's an ethical way to do that. And, hey, I'm going to give it to everyone listening in.
I've heard that technique. I'm going to let it be a surprise for the listeners, but anyone who's considering selling on eBay, this one technique, it's so simple. And if you're a power seller and selling thousands of items a month, that could really help you out financially.
That is true.
Well, Greg, this has been great. I really, really appreciate this. I think we got a lot of solid content here. Learn how eBay power sellers power through profits using eBay. Go to www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com. That's www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com. EBAYMARKETINGTIPSANDSECRETS.com. That's the end of our three-part intensive seminar on eBay. I hope you have found this very helpful. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to call me at 858-274-7851. And make sure you check out Greg's websites and feel free to call him for his expertise.